Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A final boss should be the nexus of everything you've experienced up to that point, albeit with more explosions, more emotions, more challenge, and more frustration. We all know the classics, the Bowsers, the Liquid Snakes, the ones you talk about for the rest of time and wish you could experience again, but what about all the others? The damp squibs, the wet farts, the ones who were left holding the bag and then dropped it. Rolling credits on a bum note can hurt a game and your ability to truly recommend it, so with all that in mind, I'm Scott from WhatCulture.com, and these are 9 shockingly easy final bosses in iconic video games. Number 9, Nashandra, Dark Souls 2. When most players reach Nashandra, the encounter will be made more challenging by the fact they'll just have come out of a grueling battle against the Throne Watcher and the Throne Defender. This is the first of many problems with Nashandra. She kinda has to rely on her lackeys to soften you up. When you finally fight the Grim Reaper's wife, she's slow and predictable, swinging her scythe like an old-aged farmer and firing an easily avoidable laser beam. She can even get her scythe stuck in the ground like a Crash Bandicoot boss. In a brilliant move, From Software acknowledged how naff the whole thing was by patching in a new extra boss and ending to the game in 2015. At least this fight against Aldea kept you on your toes. Number 8, Eredin, The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt. As the leader of the title of the game, you'd expect Eredin to put up one hell of a fight, especially seeing as only 20% of all Witcher 3 players even made it to the end anyway. Thankfully, the fight does look spectacular, taking place across several different areas with fires, storms, and intense operatic music. Eredin himself, though, just doesn't cut it. Sure, he takes a while to go down and has a neat teleporting trick that might throw you off for a bit, but his animations are super easy to dodge, and you can throw down an Eredin trap at any time to help. The duel overall feels like the culmination of what was, in my case, a few hundred hours worth of build-up, but once you've got these basic patterns and dodge windows down, you'll easily beat Eredin first time. Number 7, Frank Fontaine, Bioshock. Bioshock is best known for its thoughtful story and stunning design, but it's also a solid challenge, forcing you to use an array of powers, traps, and hacking to survive encounters with splicers and big daddies. In the final fight with Fontaine, though, you just need to become a matador instead, sidestepping whenever he throws fire, lightning, or himself at you. At one point, Fontaine calls on the support of some splicers to try and make things tougher, but this feels like a cheap way to bolster the difficulty in an uninspired fight. With so much creativity oozing through the rest of the game, you do wonder how the conclusion to the otherwise medium-advancing Bioshock came to be so generic. Number 6, Bowser, Super Mario Galaxy 2. This is one of those bosses where you wish that the game had just ended a little bit sooner. The first part of the final battle in Mario Galaxy 2 is intense, explosive, and exciting, as Mario is stuck on a small asteroid while a giant cosmic Bowser floats around the rock itself, attempting to burn, crush, and blow you up. After several minutes of this, you defeat the King of Koopas, only to find that he's not done yet. This now double-tiered fight starts off promisingly, with Bowser flying through space at warp speed and Mario hot on his tail, accompanied by a gorgeous orchestral score. Although it all starts to feel like the climax of Star Fox, instead you win by throwing a load of giant boulders at Bowser, who does next to nothing in return. It's a weirdly flat way to go out, in a game many still hold up as the best Mario of them all. Number 5, The Black Hand of Sauron, Middle-earth, Shadow of Mordor. What an absolute time playing Shadow of Mordor was. Before Shadow of War buried the IP under Orc Crate microtransactions, and back when a barren 2014 meant everyone was exploring and enjoying the still incredible Nemesis system. In short, Mordor worked best as an all-out sword-swinging power fantasy where, as Talion, you could take out 30-plus orcs at once, using the coolest fight choreography possible. To that end, Shadow of Mordor's mechanics just aren't cut out for one-on-one duels, something that it weirdly then relies on for the final fight against the Black Hand of Sauron. Though there is a section where you stealth kill a bunch of goons beforehand and you'll have fought your custom generated nemesis too, actually taking down the Dark Lord himself takes about 30 seconds. Also, it's a quick time event, because video games. Number 4, Storming the Enclave, Fallout 3. Let's save the discussion of whether a final grand encounter with tons of enemies technically counts as a boss fight. The fact is that storming the Enclave base is the final major set piece of Fallout 3, a moment you've been grinding and leveling towards for tens of hours. With a giant death-dealing robot by your side, you begin breaching the base of this shadowy Enclave organization. As you storm in, your giant companion stomps on ahead, incinerating anything that stands in its way. Then it continues to wipe everyone and everything out in a blaze of laser death glory, to the point where the final part of Fallout 3 practically plays itself, leaving you to scavenge from corpses unless you want to fire a few plasma rifle rounds for the sake of it. At least you do get to perform the kill on main antagonist Colonel Autumn. Still, it only takes a couple of point-blank VAT shots to send his head bouncing across the room. The ease of the fight is summed up when Sentinel Leonce casually says, "Well, that takes care of that," as if you've just finished washing the dishes, rather than taking out an organization intent on committing mass genocide. Number 3, Ganondorf. The Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess. Nintendo are one of the few developers in the world that can get away with pitting us against the same villains time and time again without anyone really caring. In Zelda's case, that's because Ganondorf and his Mr. Hyde alter ego Ganon are great forces of evil to go up against. He's big, intimidating, and usually comes with a variety of attack patterns. Sadly, even Ganondorf can have a bad day, as we saw in Twilight Princess. The fight is a no-nonsense duel in the middle of Hyrule Field, which should have made for the best final fight in Zelda history to that point. After a tense QuickTime event, though, you realize Ganondorf's AI isn't remotely prepared for you circling him. Rather than doing anything like countering your moves with a ranged attack or reacting in any notable way, he just ambles towards you instead, swinging his sword like any other ordinary grunt. While the rest of Twilight Princess, like most Zelda games, is timeless, the final battle feels very tame, reducing the mighty Ganondorf to a pretty stock encounter. Number 2, The Joker, Batman Arkham Asylum. An infamously naff boss and the one thing holding Arkham Asylum back from being a total masterpiece, turning Joker into a jacked up ogre for the final encounter was a stratospheric misfire. To this day, it's a strange choice, especially seeing as Rocksteady were planting secret seeds in Warden Sharp's office for Arkham City and the Joker killing plot twist that was to come. Here though, the creative juices ran dry, and while the ingenuity of Joker combined with the brute strength of Bane might have raised some eyebrows in the design meetings, the fight itself has you beat him the exact same way as any other heavy. Joker spends most of his time standing on a platform and watching you take out his goons. Then, when you pull him down from the ledge, he just swipes at you a few times before you pummel him into paste. Honestly though, I will say that despite this being a list about naff boss battles, I absolutely love how Batman just cakes his hand in explosive gel and delivers the best punch in 20 years worth of video games. And number 1, GLaDOS, Portal. One of the best written video game villains of all time is also one of the easiest final bosses. This comes as a bit of a disappointment, considering that you need to overcome some ingeniously designed and challenging puzzles to even get here in the first place. This battle, if you can call it that, requires you to pluck power cores off GLaDOS, then chuck them into an incinerator that seems to exist for this very purpose. The only way you can die is if the 6-minute timer runs out, but you'll probably be trying to prolong the battle just to listen to more dialogue, rather than being under any pressure to finish. As you remove GLaDOS' cores, her increasingly nonsensical dialogue is only more intriguing, and the strange comments coming from the cores themselves just make you want to stick around. The problem with this whole sequence is that it lacks the puzzle-solving brilliance that defines the rest of the game. Valve would go on to make amends in Portal 2, where the final fight uses way more of the game's mechanics, culminating in a super memorable final sequence that this original could only dream of.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.